Hello and welcome to RTE Radio 1's The Rolling Wave podcast with me, Aoife Nick Cormick. Tonight on the programme, I'm joined by Lauren Lee Neill, a harper from County Derry who was appointed CEO of Crit Éireann just last year. And she is going to guide us through some of her favourite harp tunes and pieces. But I'm delighted to say that she's also here in the studio with her own harp and she's going to play for us live as well. So Lauren, you're very welcome to The Rolling Wave. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We might start with a tune, seeing as you're there and you have the harp. What would you like to play?
I'm going to start off with a tune that I came across that will be familiar to many ears. It's a version of Eleanor Plunkett, but I find it in the Bunting and his MS06 collection, and it's got quite a different second part, and it goes by the name in this collection as Nelly Ní Cruí Uí.
Gorgeous, Lauren. Well done. Lauren Lee Neill there playing a version of Eleanor Plunkett from the Bunting collection. Have you drawn much inspiration from the Bunting collection over the years?
Yeah, I suppose when I started to study music in university, I began to look at the history of the harp, and I suppose you can't look past the Edward Bunting's collections and his work in preserving harp music here in Ireland. And probably without his work, we wouldn't have that huge corpus of material that we have today. And there's so much of it that's yet to be explored. So I think anytime you open up the books and you see this scribbly handwriting on a sheet from the late 1700s, early 1800s, you just think, wow, this was a musician, a harper probably, sitting in front of Bunting, and he was just scribbling down what he could grasp. And this was a really interesting insight. I was working with another harper from Monaghan, Eilish Lavelle, on it, and we just couldn't believe that there was this. When we began to look at the first part, we were thinking, oh, this is Eleanor Plunkett, yeah, it's just under a different name, Nelly Ní Cruí Uí. And then when we got to the second part, we were thinking, God, this is so different. This is really nice. So you get these little discoveries and these golden nuggets in the manuscript. So it's an amazing resource for harpers and other musicians as well.
The harp that you're playing now and that you have here with us, is that a harp you've had a long time, or tell me about it?
Yeah, so I suppose when I started learning the harp at my local harp school, the Hampsey Harp School, I rented a harp. Well, my parents rented a harp at the start, and whenever I began to take it that bit seriously, we got a harp, and I remember my mum telling me, "Now, if you give up that instrument, I'm going to kill you." And then I eventually got to the stage where I wanted to buy my own harp, and I kind of had a feel for what I wanted. I suppose with any instrument, you learn about your own style, your own technique, and what kind of suits your playing. So I tried out a Fisher harp for the first time at a Flachéol na Héireann, and I loved the instrument. The spacing was a little bit smaller between the strings than my the harp that I had, and it really suited because I don't have really big hands, so it suited my playing, and I ordered it right away. So I have this harp probably about 8 years now, and by total coincidence, Laurie Fisher sent the harp over. He made it in Canada, sent it over, and it landed on my birthday. Oh. So it was a really special treat to have it, and I just love the instrument, and I've been playing it ever since.
It's absolutely beautiful. And you mentioned renting harps. Is that more commonplace now? Because obviously the major barrier to people taking up instruments is getting their hands on instruments, and especially a big instrument like the harp. So are there those schemes for harp rental? Are they very popular?
Yeah, there's certainly more schemes for harp rental, I think you could say, now than there was previously. But it's a constant piece that we and harpers are working on. And what we would do is, as well as music schools, which have their own harps to rent out, which is essentially how I started. And without that access to the instrument, I wouldn't have been able to start the harp, because it is a big investment. But what we're doing as part of Harp Ireland's work is we go out to schools and we do that kind of outreach work where we show students the harp and get them interested in the instrument, and often that kind of spurs the interest to then go and explore where I can access the instrument and where I can access tuition.
Excellent. Okay, well, you have chosen, because I asked you to come in and choose a number of of tunes or of tracks that, you know, inspired you or that you loved. And I know that's a very hard ask. So you picked a few. So we're going to start with Janet Harbison. Tell me why you chose Janet Harbison and maybe introduce this tune for us.
This is one of the first albums that I got for Christmas 1 year from my parents. And at the time, I went to my lessons and I suppose I wasn't really aware. I was very young of the broader picture of Harpin and all the exciting work that was going on in terms of Irish harping. And Janet was the first teacher at the harp school that I learnt in, and this was the reason that my parents bought the album. So it kind of resonates with me in that way that there was some sort of lineage there.
Beautiful tune, Miss Hamilton, there played by Janet Harbison. And I'm here with Lauren Neale here in Studio 10 in the RTÉ Radio Centre. And Lauren, you mentioned Janet Harbison as being a teacher in the music school you started in. How did you come to the harp in the first place? What was your introduction? I mean, was there music at home or what was your way in?
Yeah, well, I suppose my two grandfathers played music. Unfortunately, I never met them. So I think in a way, my parents were really interested and wanted to give us that opportunity to learn music because it had been in the family for the generations that had went before us. So I began, you know, like many people, going to tin whistle lessons, fiddle lessons. I wasn't just so great at those. So I was in search of my instrument, I think. And the place that the whistle and fiddle lessons were held in, there was also a harp school being run in the same building. And it was a cross-community harp school in our local town, Garva. And a friend of mine went to harp lessons and we used to be waiting on our parents to come and lift us. And I used to always just pick out the tune that I learned on the whistle, on the harp. And I think at one stage, Anne, who was over the harp school at the time, just said to my mum, like, would you ever think of just sending her? She's doing our head in, you know, she's picking away at this harp every week. Would you ever think of just sending her to harp lessons? And then mummy says, well, do you want to go? And I said, God, yeah, I'd love to. So I didn't begin till I was P6, P7 at school, which was just before I went to secondary school. So I was maybe a little bit of a latecomer, but once I started then I really fell in love with the instrument and I just wanted to keep learning and learning.
And you also had the music in your ears, you know, or in your fingers maybe from beforehand, yeah, from the whistle and everything, which I think helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gives you a good grounding, I think, and understanding, even just gets your ear practiced with the shapes of the tunes and the traditional repertoire. So it definitely helped.
And with harpers, if you're playing traditional music on the harp, can it transfer over to classical music as well or not? Or do people tend to learn classical music at the beginning as well?
So I suppose the harp that I'm playing today would be a traditional Irish harp. So it's got levers and that allows us to change keys, to have accidentals in our music. And the pedal harp, which would be the harp associated with the classical tradition here in Ireland, has got pedals, which allow that kind of chromaticism. And it's quite a different and larger instrument as well. So whilst the skills and the technique in many ways are very similar, the instruments and how they function are fundamentally that little bit different. So there is certainly a crossover. There's many harpers that are able to play both instruments. I suppose around me at the time there wasn't many. I didn't know any pedal harpers at the time. So I never took up that opportunity. I wish I had of. I regret it. But there is crossovers in the repertoire, and likewise, I suppose, you know, it's kind of the beauty of the tradition as well, being able to take pieces of music from another tradition and pull it into your own instrument, your own repertoire with your own kind of arrangement around it, and vice versa.
Absolutely, make it your own. You've chosen a track for us from Gráinne Hambly. It's from the album Between the Showers, Taylor's Twist and Cooley's Hornpipe. Tell me about Gráinne Hambly.
So Gráinne, I suppose, when I was growing up, was a role model, an idol in terms of Irish harping. I used to go to the Fla Ceoil every year, and at Scoláigh she would be one of the teachers, and I always just looked up to her and I admired her music and still do very much admire her music. So I bought this album, I listened to it on repeat as you do when you're growing up, and learnt every track from it, and this was one of the favourites of the time.
Gráinne Hambly there playing the Taylor's Twist and Cooley's Hornpipe. We were just saying while we were listening to Gráinne there, it's such precise playing, but it's understated in a way, but it's got everything in it, isn't it, in that playing? Everything that's so rich in traditional music is in that playing on that track.
Yeah, it's just sublime playing, as you said. Just so clear and beautiful and rhythmical. It has such a nice bounce to it, and I always think that about Gráinne's music. And I suppose for a long time, you know, historically, dance tunes in traditional music wouldn't have been associated with the harp. But, you know, I suppose for upwards of 50 years now, there's been a huge revival of dance music being performed on the harp through, you know, Gráinne herself, the likes of Máire Ní Chathaoirse, Eileen McCrahan, Janet Harbison, all of the greats who really started to play traditional music, dance music on the harp. And now it's in some ways just it's accepted as the norm as well, and very much part of the tradition.
Because it has, you know, the image or the public profile of the harp, of all the instruments, it's changed maybe most dramatically over the last, you know, 50 years, because it has very much gone from accompanying singing, or, you know, being a sort of a behind the scenes instrument slightly, to being to the fore and to taking a big role, hasn't it, in composition and in playing of dance tunes, as you say.
Yeah, I think it's been the history and the kind of movement of and development of the harp over time is so fascinating, because if we look then again right back to kind of the bardic traditions, you know, the harp was very much at the fore and was one of this, you know, the learned instruments of the time accompanying bardic poetry. But it was a very different instrument. It was a wire-strung instrument, and it was played with the fingernails, and then, you know, it kind of went into, I suppose, decline a bit, and then you had this revival with singing and as an accompaniment, and the changed instrument with the gut strings, right through to then all of a sudden starting to play traditional dance music on the instrument. And I suppose something that lends itself to this kind of changing and very exciting movement and development over time is that the instrument's very versatile. Mm-hmm. So that the instrument has that ability to accompany, you know, itself, as well as that it's an ability to perform melodies along with accompaniment. So it's very versatile in how it can be adapted to suit particular traditions or what's popular at the time.
And is there much music being composed for the harp today?
Yeah, I think composition in traditional music is through a new wave, and it's very kind of a very vibrant tradition. I suppose a key harper composer at the minute and for the past number of years has been Michael Rooney, who's composed an awful lot of music for traditional orchestra, and as well then for harp, that is his own instrument as well. And certainly whenever you're working with young musicians, it's that type of music as well that also inspires them and adds just an extra layer of depth, so that you've got the historical repertoire, the Carlin's music, all of Bunting's repertoire, then you have the traditional music, and now you have a new wave of music which is kind of testing the new directions and the parameters of the instrument and what it's capable of. So it's really exciting time for harping.
Big time, big time. You mentioned Michael Rooney, and you have chosen a track from one of the albums that Michael Rooney and June McCormack made together, as Dríocht. I think you chose the track that starts with Gurt na Mona. So tell me about Michael Rooney. How influential a figure is he in the world of harping?
Yeah, I mean, he's renowned harper, composer, and I suppose, like Gráinne, when I was growing up, I came to know Michael's music through his recordings and his albums, and it felt like it was forging some kind of new direction in harping, and it really excited me. And I remember attending a workshop with him, and I think I suppose you can't really underestimate. You went to a harp school or you learned from a teacher, but it's all of those influences outside of that. The random workshop that you went to in Monaghan that Michael Rinney was taking. You know, you'd never forget that. And I remember he came to Derry once and I was just finishing up school and I was kind of in a bit of a no man's land because I hadn't a harp teacher at the time, but I was going to different workshops and whatnot. And he was just really inspirational on his outlook on harping and how you could kind of push the instrument and syncopate your accompaniment and things like that that I maybe hadn't explored before really got me kind of hooked on his music. And I'm sure he's still composing and recording new albums today, and it's amazing.
Michael Rooney and June McCormack, and they were playing Gort na Mona and Tír Rafferty, and that's from one of the albums they made together as Dríocht. Lauren Ní Naoill, another musician on your very fine list here, I should say, is Katrina McKay. Tell me about Katrina McKay.
So Katrina McKay has been a huge, huge influence on my music. I first met Katrina whenever I was at university, and I was so lucky and fortunate that herself and Chris Stout came over and performed at Imbolc International Music Festival in Derry, and at the same time came over to the university and I got to have a workshop with Katrina. And it honestly, it just blew my mind for the, you know, I just couldn't believe what she was doing on the harp. I mean, she was using the harp in all of these different ways and strumming the harp and creating different sounds in the harp and, you know, playing music that I could feel was still within that kind of idiom of traditional music in some way that resonated with me, but that was really pushing the boundaries of the instrument and the repertoire itself. And then, of course, the parallel with Scottish music, you know, is very clear in the tradition, and to have that kind of parallel and new, like opening the door to that new repertoire was so exciting. So Katrina, I was so fortunate to have Katrina helped kind of, you know, lead me along the way in my harping journey. And I worked with her in, I think it was 2016. I was lucky enough to receive the Master Apprentice Scheme, and you got to apply to work with a renowned instrumentalist or musician, and I had chosen Katrina. I was lucky enough to get it, so I ended up going from having that one workshop with her in university to spending weeks with her and learning from her and really just pushing myself and my harping and what I was interested in and what I wanted to do and creating kind of a voice myself. So that was really amazing. So Katrina is a huge influence and her music is just really inspiring, I find.
Katrina McKay there playing the Blind Summit Carillon's Concerto, her own version of Carillon's Concerto, and I think you can kind of hear that strumming that you were talking about at the start in the opening of that track. So Katrina McKay, another wonderful harper is Lisha Kelly, of course, and she's been a huge figure in Irish harping for a long time. Tell me about Lisha's influence on you and your playing.
I suppose, like Grainne and on all of the harpers that I've mentioned so far, I do, you know, a huge interest in traditional music and dance music being played in the harp, and you can't look past Lisha Kelly and her albums, and I just really enjoyed her playing. There was such a strong pulse and something that I really felt I could resonate in my own style of playing, and I think when you're growing up playing music, that's really important, that you can resonate with other musicians and that you look up to and that you can connect with their music and relate it in some way back to what you do. I think it helps you kind of ground yourself in the whole process, and Lisha has always been so helpful. And again, you know, like all the other harpers, when I'm going to workshops, I always came out feeling so inspired, and that these people were really encouraging all the time to keep playing music and to keep doing what I was doing. So she's always been really helpful and kind of inspiring in that way, and her music's phenomenal, and her recent album with Tiernan O'Dinkin is, I love it because it's so much based on that really stronghold of music that's went before us, and how that music can still be relevant and arranged and performed today and still be as relevant as it once was years ago.
Aoise Kelly and Tiernan O'Dinkin there from the album Ar Lorg na Léachra with the beautiful Goodman version of Fáinne Galilei and Lady's Cup of Tea. You know, listening to all of this music, Lauren, there's so much good music here, and I know we're only sort of tip of the iceberg here, that you could have filled two programmes. But as a musician or as a harper, what kind of music are you drawn to with the harp? Are you drawn to these, to solos, duets, or do you like hearing it in the bigger context of the orchestras or bigger bands, or what do you like when you go looking for music?
I suppose when I go looking for music, I'm always searching for that something that I haven't heard before, and whether that's a new tune from, you know, that I've heard someone else, another musician play, you know, by ear, or whether that's looking in those collections and finding that little golden nugget I talked about before, that then you think, oh wow, I can make this something really my own. And I think that's the exciting thing for me about music. I enjoy playing solo. I also play with Eugene on fiddle, so we do a lot of duet work together.
Eugene McKenna
yeah. So we play a lot as a duet as well, and I suppose in that kind of context, I really enjoy exploring how the harp can fit into that duo, both as player of a melody, but as well can sit underneath that fiddle melody and use kind of different techniques or roles, switch between roles in that set and accompany as well. So yeah, I enjoy, I think you get a nice buzz. I think maybe ultimately it's what excites you. So whenever you're playing solo, when you find a piece of music, you think, I can't wait to arrange this, and I can't wait to sit down and spend hours kind of fiddling through it until I find my own way through it. And then whenever you're in other contexts, if you're playing with other people, it's that buzz of sharing ideas and sharing, I suppose, what could happen in the arrangement and how you might piece together tunes and what you can bring to the table and create as a duo. I really enjoy that as well.
Okay, well, you are here, as I said, in Studio 10 here, and you do have your harp with you. So would you play us another tune maybe?
Yeah, perfect. I'll play another tune that I got out of the same Bunting collection, MS06. It's not got a name, but it's a jig. And the second is Munster Beacon.
Nail there playing two jigs. The second, Munster Beacon, wasn't it? Yeah, the second was Munster Beacon, and the first is a Gananim tune from the Bunting collection. Lauren, I mentioned in the introduction that your new role as CEO of Harp Ireland, but of course it's not that new because you actually took on this role last year. Tell me about what's involved in that job for you.
Yeah, so I started with Harp Ireland last February, so just a full year past now, and Critchair and Harp Ireland was established in 2017 in collaboration with the Arts Arts Council, I suppose, to support and continue that development that we've been talking about, an evolution of the Irish harp. And significantly then in 2019, with the UNESCO recognition on the list of intangible cultural heritage of humanities for Irish harp, and it really, I suppose, underlines the cultural significance and of the Irish harp as a core aspect of our living cultural heritage here. So what we do to kind of promote the harp is we've got a series of regional concerts every year right across Ireland, where we've got lots of different harpers performing, all from the early Irish harping tradition, the Irish harping tradition, and the classical pedal harp tradition as well. We also have a Young Harpers Forum, which has just met there on Saturday for the first time in person out at Angrianan in Termefecan. And I suppose that we're hoping to give young harpers and the next generation of harpers that opportunity to raise their voice and tell us what they want to see for the future of harping. And alongside that, we've got an online journal where people can share their perspectives on Irish harp, and we've got a new podcast, Evolve on Harps, which kind of explores the new directions of emerging young harpers and how they're kind of pushing the parameters of harping, because it's a really exciting time, I think, for harpers now, in that people are exploring what the kind of movements of the harp and what new directions can be forged. It's a busy job, a busy calendar of events every year, but it's I suppose, like, to be passionate about the harp, to perform on the harp, is it's especially special for me to be in the position where I can work with other harpers and harp makers to promote the instrument.
I should go back and count the amount of times that you've said exciting in relation to the harp during the programme, and you can really feel it off you, but you're right, it is a very exciting arena in which to play and work now, isn't it? Because there's so much possibility and people trying so many different things. It's a very, very interesting place to be, I think.
Absolutely. And I mean, we had our first concert of the Sugar Club Harp Sessions featured Bree Jean, and she was using a loop pedal to in her arrangements, and she was singing along with the harp. And we've got the Henry girls who are harmonising vocals and having the harp as kind of a central instrument in that. We've got the likes of Lisa Canny, who's coming later in the year, who's blending in with all sorts of different, you know, folk music, R&B, and I think just harp is fitting, is kind of moving into lots of different genres of music, and holding its place as the Irish harp within that, which is really nice.
Before we move away, you were talking, your harp is a Larry Fisher harp. Are there many people making harps in Ireland these days?
Yeah, there is. So there's, again, in the past kind of 20 years more, there's new wave of interest in Irish harp making as well. So there's a number of harp makers, both north and south of the border. So you've got Termenan harps, Ella harps, Killarney harps, Nara Water harps. There's so many. And of course, there are also makers of the early Irish harp as well, which is the smaller wire strung instrument. And we work to support the early Irish harping tradition as well. So there's many harp makers local, and on our website we've got a directory where you can see all the harp makers right across Ireland and where they're located.
Okay, fantastic. Well, you have two more tracks here on your very nice list, and one of them is Gráinne Yates. Tell me about Gráinne Yates and the tune she's going to play, Throw Them the Love.
This album, the Belfast Harp Festival, came to my attention whenever I was researching, doing my PhD project, and I was looking at the early harping tradition of bardic poetry and accompanying harp music, and I was really interested in kind of how you could reimagine this performance practice of the spoken word along with harp accompaniments in a contemporary setting. But of course, to understand that, I really wanted to delve into the early Irish harping tradition and find out a lot more about that. So this album is, I suppose, iconic in the sense that there's so many tracks of these early pieces that were performed at the Belfast Harp Festival of 1792, which was a really pivotal and significant moment in harping in order to preserve the music. So these tracks are so important, and this particular one, Tour du de Lau, is said to have been composed by Rory Dalocan, who was a native of County Derry, so I suppose I feel some sort of an affiliation with him, or a connection in some way. And as well, it's a very well-known tune, and I think it resonates a lot with people as well who are maybe coming to the Irish harping tradition and have heard this piece before as well.
Thank you.
The beautiful Tour Them the Love, played there by Grainne Yates. And Lauren Ninale, there's one more tune here that we're going to finish with, Micheál O'Reilly and Michael Rooney, and it's from the album The Nervous Man, Stony Steps, Hunt in the Bog, Merry Dogs of Easter. And I'm going to ask you to tell me why you chose that in a second. But first of all, thank you very much for coming into us here on The Rolling Wave. It's been great to have you, and beautiful to see you playing yourself here as well. Thanks so much. Thanks to Mark Dwyer, who was on sound for us tonight. Ben Wood Narashliv and Tachtan Chahugan Mars Gana Ach Erdus. Lauren, tell me about these tunes and why you picked these. Michael Rooney and Micheál O'Reilly.
So I just love this album.
It's a very fine album, right?
Yeah, it's a good start. Yeah. If you just love listening to it. And I suppose I loved listening to the harp, kind of being central as accompaniment, and the syncopation. And it was, I suppose, just kind of inspiring in terms of how you can listen to the harp as well as an accompanying instrument. And it's just a very fine album, as you say, and I love this track.
OK, well, thanks very much for coming in. So, Micheál O'Reilly and Michael Rooney, go dtí an tam, chéanna, an tacht an tseohogan, í hawa. Thanks for listening to the Rolling Wave podcast. For rights reasons, the music here is shorter than in the original broadcast. So if you'd like to hear the full versions of the tracks, you can go to rte.ie/radio1/ The Rolling Wave. And this programme was first broadcast on the 24th of March 2024. Gdi an chéad orella, gur mhíle maith agus slán.